You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Welcome in, Raider Nation, to Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q, the host, at your boy Q254. And yes, I'm still feeling good about the Raiders' victory over the Steelers 24-21 on Sunday. And I know a lot of you are as well. Matter of fact, got a lot of calls about Sunday's game that I want to get to. I will have on today's show. Have a lot of calls about the game, but I also have calls about other subjects as well. Some things that we talked about last week, like the fan base and how they were ranked 14th and how that's insane. But yeah, that's going to be coming up on today's show. Got a lot of stuff to get to. And also, the big news that came out of the Raider Nation, obviously overshadowed the win on Sunday, was the fact that on Monday, the Raiders let go of GM Reggie McKenzie. This is a move that a lot of folks saw coming the minute John Gruden got hired, and something that we've talked about multiple times on this podcast. But Reggie McKenzie, Raiders GM from 2012 to December 2018, if you consider this season as him still being in charge, as him still being the GM, if you know what I mean, he inherited a real bad team that was in salary cap hell. Look, he fired Hugh Jackson, he stripped it down, he hired Dennis Allen, he tried to rebuild it, he hired Jack Del Rio. 2014, he had a really, really good draft, one of those that goes down in history. You know, drafted guys like Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, Gabe Jackson, Latavius Murray. Great draft in 2014. Many GMs won't have that claim to fame that they had a draft as good as that. Also picked up Amari Cooper in 2015, Carl Joseph in 2016. The jury's still out on Carl Joseph. Obviously, Cooper is no longer with the team. He's now in Dallas. Obviously, Khalil Mack is no longer with the team. He's in Chicago. Latavius Murray played Monday night with the Minnesota Vikings. That's where he's at. But yeah, those are all guys that Reggie McKenzie drafted. Also in 2017, Gerrion Conley, who everyone knows I was very, very skeptical about, really did not like that pick when it was made. But as of late, he is really showing his worth, looking like he's turning into a real deal defensive back. So this is my thoughts on Reggie McKenzie. I thought he was good. I've said this a few times on the podcast. I didn't think he was great. You know what I mean? He had his ups and downs, had a few misses, but ultimately I think he did a good job. He gave the Raiders playoff talent and gave him a chance to actually win. He also gave him a chance to shed contracts when players weren't performing because of the way he wrote his contracts. I really, really respected the way that he was able to write those contracts. Did a heck of a job as a first-time GM. Remember that. First-time GM, and he did win Executive of the Year in 2016. Obviously, as we know, 2016 was a great year for the Raiders outside of Derek Carr breaking his leg on Christmas Eve against the Colts at the Oakland Coliseum. Something I'll never forget because I know exactly where I was when it happened. I was right there in the end zone. Well, a little bit above the end zone. Me, Mama Q, Littler Q, and Littler Q. So anyway, that's a whole nother story. Told that story many times. But yeah, that's one of those days that I'll never, never forget. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the podcast today talking about Reggie McKenzie and if I thought he was good, if he did a great job. I'm just not going to do it. We've talked about it a few times, but I will throw it out there so you can get your thoughts in now that it's official and he has moved on. You know, do you think it's fair that John Gruden and Mark Davis moved on from him? Overall, he was 39-70. His teams, 39-70 was the record of his teams while he was in the front office. So what are your thoughts on Reggie McKenzie, the GM of the Raiders? Do you think it's fair that John Gruden and Mark Davis moved on from him? Obviously, the number is 707-654-4693. That is the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. So again, a lot to get to on today's show. Got a lot of calls I want to get to in segment number two and segment number three. But obviously, the biggest news right now surrounding the Raiders is Reggie McKenzie, the GM, no longer with the team. And what direction do they go next? If it's up to me, I would have Scott McLuhan. I'd have called Scott McLuhan right away. I had him on speed dial. That dude is really a great talent evaluator. I spoke about it many, many times. I don't know if he's a guy who is on John Gruden's wish list. I don't know if he's on Mark Davis's wish list. But I'll tell you right now, if you look at the Washington Redskins and their roster, the last few drafts have all been guys that were drafted off Scott McLuhan's big board. And he put that together even though he's no longer in Washington. Him and Bruce Allen, imagine that, couldn't get along very well. They butted heads. Matter of fact, Bruce Allen threw him underneath the bus and talked really bad about things that Scott McLuhan had going on in his life, like alcohol issues that he had going on, and basically brought that to the forefront and said that's the reason why the Redskins had to move on from him. And that was not the case. The case is the fact that Bruce Allen is an egomaniac, and a lot of folks say that John Gruden has an ego. Bruce Allen's ego is extremely large, and so when Scott McLuhan started getting a lot of credit for that team drafting good players and getting good players on their roster, then all of a sudden, he got all the credit and Bruce Allen got angry. So that's when the witch hunt began, and that's when he really started going after him. And his mission, his first mission, was to get him out of the organization. He ultimately did. He smeared his name in a terrible way. Hopefully Bruce Allen is not a guy that is thought of as a potential front office person for the Raiders. I know that him and John Gruden have a big history together, but according to multiple reports, he is not on the list. He is not one of the guys that they're going to look at. Right now, they have an interim dude that they moved up that was already in the organization. Sean Harrock is the guy. He's the college scouting director. And so he's the interim GM right now. He's also expected to get an interview for the vacant top personnel job. That's according to Ian Rappaport. So, I didn't know his name at first, but his name is Sean Harrock, the college scouting director of the Raiders right now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, I'm looking at a guy like Scott McLuhan. I'm telling you that right now, first and foremost, you heard it here from me first. Simple as that. If the Raiders get this guy, they're going to have one hell of a roster. I'll tell you right now, with the three draft picks that they have in 2019, the first round draft picks they have in 2019, not to mention all the cap space they have, he will build an outstanding roster, and I won't be mad at Reggie McKenzie being gone. Again, not that I'm throwing salt on Reggie McKenzie's name, but you got to start building for the draft right now. You got to start building that big board, and I know that Scott McLuhan has already done that work, and he could put together, man, with all that ammunition, he could put together a great roster for the Raiders. So if anyone has Mark Davis and John Gruden's ear, go ahead and let them hear this part. Not that they don't know that. They know McLuhan is that dude. The only question is, do him and Gruden get along? I hope they do. I really hope they do, because they could do some great things together, but we will have to wait and see. So coming up in segment number two, segment number three, calls, your thoughts off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line 707-654-4693. Again, the question that I posed in segment number one, what were your thoughts on Reggie McKenzie, the GM? How would you rate his time in Oakland? And do you think it's fair that John Gruden and Mark Davis moved on from him? Let me know, 707-654-4693. Before I get into segment number two and three, got to tell you about Action Heat. And I know you're probably wondering, what in the world is Action Heat? Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button, you can control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. And again, so if you do a lot of outdoor activities, like I do a lot of outdoor activities, being at football games and being on sidelines of football games, this could be perfect for you, because when I get cold, I get miserable. And I don't want to be miserable, and you don't either. So what you need to do is go and get some Action Heat. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body. They have jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even drawers, like heat-based layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Right now, special deal for all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. Save up to 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon. Or you can use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And of course, as always, thank you for sponsoring the Locked On Raider podcast. Segment number two is next.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back. Welcome in to the Locked On Raiders podcast. This is segment number two for Tuesday, December the 11th. I'm your boy Q, at your boy Q254. Many of you know that. The other way to get a hold of me is very easy, and matter of fact, going to go to a lot of it in the next two segments. 707-654-4693. That is the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. We're going to get things kicked off. It's funny, man. We actually got back-to-back callers that are in Kansas City. We're going to start things off with my man James. He's in KC.
Hey, Q. This is James in KC. wanted to call in and touch bases with everybody in Raider Nation, say, hey, what's up? Great win against the Steelers. Wanted to talk about a couple of things. First half of the game, I had to listen to it on the radio, and my God, Brent Musburger must go. I think we need to start a hashtag Musburger must go fight on Twitter or something. It was hard to tell what was going on in the game. Hell, it was hard to tell what team he was being the announcer for a few times. All that being said, got to watch the third and fourth quarter from home. Boys looked good. It was a tale of two defenses, though, it really looked like when Big Ben was on the field versus Dobbs. When Dobbs was on the field, it looked like our boys was just tearing his butt up. Big Ben seemed to have his way for the most part, but we hung in there. We fought. Thank God for the missed field goal. Thank God that they slipped on it, and otherwise I don't think we would have taken home the big W. You mentioned in segment one something I was going to mention about how Carr got into Aikman for the misdirection on his route, not continuing out. That was good to see. Carr is improving. I think he's just getting a lot more confident in the system, more confident in his arm. It was great to see some of those passes. They were spot on. If they had been in any other place, our guys wouldn't have caught it, and they probably would have been an interception. So that was great, the way he would thread the needle. That's about it for now. Rock on, Raider Nation. Just win, baby. I'm out.
First, he had to speak on the radio broadcast. He said he listened to it for the first half of the game, and he feels like Brent Musburger must go. I did a real big, long rant about it, I believe, last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, about Brent Musburger and how I respect him as a broadcaster. I do not like him as the voice of the Raiders. Just do not like it. He said he got home to see the third and the fourth quarter, so he didn't have to listen to Brent anymore. And then moving on just to the game itself, he liked what he saw from Carr, thinks he's growing and maturing in Gruden's system, and liked that he got on Marcell Aikman when he didn't run his whole route, something I mentioned on Monday. Either way, he was pretty fired up about the win and what he was able to see on Sunday. And then, continuing in KC, my man Raider Joe.
Hey, what up, Q? This Raider Joe here, man, KC. Man, I just want to call in and talk about, you know, a few things. Man, one thing that I noticed about the team that really got me excited, and I called in about this last week, and I noted how I feel like, you know, the team has started to rally behind each other. And I know I got to see, you know, everybody got to see how Amari just balled out yesterday. Like, man, it's amazing. Like, dang, that dude used to be on our team. But I will say, since he's been gone, the team as a whole has played a lot better. I don't know. I find it hard to believe based off of, you know, Amari being so calm and just really quiet, that he was being a cancer in the locker room. But it does seem like since he's been gone, like there's the locker room is a little bit more free. And one of the things that really kind of made me realize, like, wow, look, they're playing more like a team, is when we scored that touchdown, I believe it was with Lee Smith. When Lee Smith got his touchdown and they did the hot potato and then Derek Carr spiked it. That is the first time that I've seen us celebrate as a team. Was it a little bit corny? Yeah. But since our players have been allowed to do these joint celebrations, that's the first time in these last 2 years that I've seen that. So, like I said, I do feel like, you know, we are starting to come together. I'm loving what Gary Conley is doing. I just feel like as a team right now, we're making strides. We're moving forward together as a team. So I'm just really liking it. I want to see more of it. Man, let's go ahead and win out for the rest of the year. You know, let's keep stacking wins and going to next year on a high note and really make some things happen. That's all I wanted to say. Raiders, Joe out.
He talked about the team rallying behind each other, talked about Cooper balling out for the Cowboys, and even though he's balling, said the Raiders have been playing a lot better now that he's gone. The biggest sign to him about the team being a real team is that Lee Smith, when he scored that touchdown and everyone did the little hot potato celebration, Derek Carr spiked the ball, and he had never seen that. He had never seen the Raiders celebrate like that all together as a team. So he wants to see more of what he's been seeing, but again, enjoyed what he saw and likes that this team is coming along. And yeah, another call out of KC is funny. So James and KC and Raider Joe and KC back to back right there. Now, got to get to the next call. Fast and Furious, my man WAP.
Hey, Q. And swap. So we lost Reggie McKinney. Now whether he quit or was fired, that's up to discussion, and it depends on the news sources. Again, so he's gone. Did he have some misses? Yeah, there's not a single general manager of any football team that doesn't have some misses. But some good things that he did besides the picks, he got us out of cap hell, so we should be thankful for that. He definitely got us out of some bad deals and kept those deals from really screwing the Raiders over. So, you know, we should be thankful for what he did do and not so much what he didn't do. That I think that's a hard job in general, especially with the show that he was given to begin with. So, kudos to him, and I wish him success. But go Raiders. Out.
He actually talked about Big Reggie getting fired, or if he quit, because he did have that option to stay on till the end of the season, and he chose not to, and that's fine. He talked about some good things that he did, like getting the team out of cap hell, something I mentioned in segment number one. He said he did some good things, he wishes him the best, and pretty much that was about it. So he was giving his thought on the question I asked in segment number one, and I still want to know what your thoughts are on Big Ridge. 707-654-4693. Thanks a lot, Watt. Appreciate that. Now my man Yayo in Jersey.
Yo, what's good, Q? It's your boy Yale from Jersey. My fault, man. Over here at work right now. Man, I've been bashing Derek Carr all year, but I gotta get some of his props. You know? I just want what's best for Raider Nation. That's it, man. So if he's doing good, I'm gonna give him his props. If he's doing ass, then, you know, I gotta roast him. You know? Not much to say right now. It's a good win. Mari Cooper, he's a bozo. All of a sudden, he's a talker. You know what I'm saying? He got a lot to say now. I can't wait to see when the Cowboys lose in the playoffs. One and done. See what he got to say. All right, shout out to all my Raider Nation out there. Be safe, Q.
Now, Yayo, he's been bashing Carr all year, but he wanted to give him his props. He said if he does good, he's going to give him his props. If he doesn't do good, he's got to roast him. He also mentioned Amari Cooper and how he's suddenly become a big-time talker. And that's funny, man, because that's something that I've talked about a few times. I've even played Amari Cooper press conferences from the Dallas Cowboys locker room when he's there, even times that he's talked to me directly. And, man, he has a little bit more pep in his step. So he said he can't wait to see what happens or what Cooper has to say once the Cowboys lose in the first round of the playoffs when they're one and done. We'll see. I know right now Amari Cooper's in a good place, or he feels like he's in a good place. He's happy. He's the center of the offense behind Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, those two are like a 1-2 punch. And so I think it's a good move right now for the Raiders, and I think it's a good move for the Cowboys. I've said it multiple times. I've told people that on my radio show on ESPN Central Texas that Amari Cooper is what the Cowboys needed. They needed that number one guy, and you know that first round draft pick is what the Raiders needed because they weren't going to get a deal done with Joel Siegel, who is Amari Cooper's agent, who is the same agent as Khalil Mack. It just wasn't going to get done. As sad as that is, guys that are represented by Joel Siegel, and I will say Carl Joseph is represented by Joel Siegel, so watch out for that. Just going to throw that out there. Going to go ahead and leave that dangling out there so you know. Guys that are represented by Joel Siegel most likely will not be Oakland Raiders. Just going to go ahead and say that. And, yeah, we'll see what happens with the Cowboys and see how far they go and how much Cooper keeps talking. But right now he's feeling pretty good about where he's at. Going to finish off segment number two with my man Flavius in Indiana.
Hey, dude, this is your boy Flavius calling from Indiana. Hey, this one's going to be a little long-winded for me, but, hey, Donnelly and Joseph, I mean, they're not the best, but, hey, they're getting the job done. I've seen a couple picks there again in this game. The defense is starting to come along. I mean, Carr and Cook are doing their thing. Rashard actually started stepping up, you know, getting a couple good, decent runs in them. I'm happy with that win. Okay, out.
I love what Flavia said right there. He said, this is going to be a long-winded call for me. He liked what Conley and Joseph were doing. I talked about Carl Joseph before, and I said the jury was still out on him. But Flavia, he was pretty high on Conley and Joseph. He said the defense was making plays, gave props to Jalen Richard, and liked the win for the Raiders. And again, it was about a 30-second call for Flavius, and that is long-winded for him. Usually his are about 15 to 18 seconds, but you get it. You get the point, man. Some guys aren't long-winded talkers, and Flavius, he cuts to the chase and gets what he has to get out, and then boom, he's done. He's out. So appreciate that call. So in segment number two, Flavius, Yayo, WAP, Raider Joe, and James. All great calls right there, man. Definitely appreciate that. Coming up in segment number three, you got it. I got some more calls coming straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we go. Final segment of the day. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast. Segment number three, your boy Q, 707-654-4693. That is the number. Let's go out to my man Richard. He's from the 510.
What's up, dude? This is Richard. The great victory yesterday by the Raiders. Definitely going to always remember that game. The Derek Carr has turned the corner. Him and Gruden working together, you know, I think pretty much everybody can say, you know, honestly, that all the talk and the speculation about Carr being traded, Gruden wants someone that can extend the plays, or he's going to want to draft a rookie. They're not going to want to go through all that. You know, Gruden's going to want to stay with Carr. He's got his quarterback. You know, that's what Gruden was brought in to do, was to fix Carr. Unfortunately, everything else happened, you know, the trades and, you know, the injuries and just everything else fell apart this year. But at least that got fixed. You know, so they've taken, you know, a definite step, you know, a few steps in the right direction. It's exciting again to see about the future. You know, I thought Jerry McDonald, you know, from the Bay Area News Group, he made a great observation, you know, about Carr and Cooper since the trade. If you look at their stat line and their productions, you know, you really can't make sense of anything, because one, Carr has done great since the Cooper trade, and so has Cooper. So, you know, that's all I wanted to say, is just that, you know, it's hard to draw conclusions from the chaos of 2018. You know, everything's all over the place. But the one thing I can say definitely is that Gruden and Carr have fixed their, you know, have got it fixed, and they're going forward. That's going to be a great duo. You know, everything else, I don't know what to make of it. I got a lot of thoughts, but, you know, nothing coherent. So just want to say it was great Monday. It's actual Monday, not a morale, a moral victory Monday. It was actual great Monday against a playoff, a world-class organization like Steelers. So I'm just happy we're going to enjoy it this week. All right, man. Later on.
Big win by the Raiders. Derek Carr's turning the corner. Him and Gruden are working well together as of late. Richard's excited about that. He also believes Gruden is going to want to stick with DC as a quarterback. That's what he was brought in to do, was fix Carr. That was something that we talked about a lot, that was John Gruden's number one job, was to fix Derek Carr. Well, obviously his number one job now is to go ahead and rehaul this whole team. I had to censor myself right there. This whole And I decided just to say blank and then team. But he does feel the Raiders are taking steps in the right direction. The future looks bright. And another guy saying, since the trade of Amari Cooper, he actually said both players have been better. Carr is looking good with Oakland, and Coop looks good with Dallas. He believes Carr and Gruden will be a good duo moving forward. And again, he's just happy about the win against Pittsburgh. Good stuff right there, Richard, representing that 510. Now my man Forrest, he's calling out of Phoenix.
Hey, Q, it's Forrest out here in Phoenix. Calling right after the game. Just wanted to just say I'm super happy that we went ahead and won the game. Carr put his tail off. The defense was great. Conley looked great, and I was really happy that Ben Roethlisberger, he thought he's going to come back at the end of the game, because he knew he's never won in Oakland. He thought he's going to finally get that victory. He thought he let him down, and it was that victory, and we finally took that away from him. I was never superstitious, and I never believed in things like that somewhere, but I'm a believer after today. And just one more thing, Brandon Parker has to go. and I'm just thankful we won, you know, up because that really held us up. I'm really happy, feeling good. Hope everybody enjoys the win. Raider Nation, peace out.
He called right after the game, talked about Carr playing his tail off, said Gerrion Conley looks really good and the defense played well. You know, was very happy that Big Ben came up short and was not able to bring Pittsburgh back and pick up his first win in Oakland. And again, I was happy about that as well. I thought that was real, real arrogant and real, real stupid by the Steelers to go ahead and leave him on the sideline as they got behind the Raiders. And all of a sudden, then they want to bring him into the game. I thought that was real arrogant other than just thinking that they were going to basically walk all over the Raiders and, oh, don't worry about it. Joshua Dobbs can get us done. And then all of a sudden, they look up and said, oh, damn, what happened? Now we're losing. So, yeah, that's exactly what you get, Pittsburgh Steelers. But a good call right there from my man Forrest in Phoenix. Appreciate that. And my man Victor calling out of Cali.
Q, you and I were the only ones that picked Pittsburgh to win. What a game. Conley stepped up. This is awesome. I'm all excited. I ran outside and of course you can hear the ice cream man in the background. We're all doing good here. So excited for the Raiders. All right. That's all I got. Bye.
All right, so it's funny, man. Victor and Cali feeling good about himself. You can hear it in his voice. He said, you and I were the only ones to pick Pittsburgh to win? Nah, I think Victor was feeling really good about himself, you know what I mean? I definitely think he meant picked Oakland to win, because I know I picked Oakland to win, and I remember when he called back and said he was going to go with Oakland as well because he believed in what I was telling him. Sounds like Victor was having a really good time, maybe had a few cold ones, and I'm okay with that. I love that. Hey, I ain't mad at you, man. Pour back some more cold ones. You can hear the ice cream man in the background, so he was just having a good old time. I just want to know, because where I'm at in Central Texas, it was pretty damn cold on Sunday, so I sure know I wasn't going to be outside with Ice Cream Man, but that's just me. Victor was in Cali, or is in Cali, so maybe it was a nice warm spot where he was at, but I know where I was at, man, it was cold, so there wasn't no ice cream ran around me, plus I'm black toast, so you know how that goes, man. Ain't messing with no ice cream anyway. Those days are long gone, brother, but now we're getting to a whole nother conversation, but that wasn't all from Victor. He wasn't done. He hit me back a few minutes later after the Ice Cream Man went by.
Sorry, Q, I had to call you back. The Ice Cream Man went by. Victor from Cali again. Still excited from the win. Hey, a couple things. Carr played awesome. Still no interceptions. I don't know about that fumble, but no interceptions. Conley stepped up. I don't know. We're doing pretty good with almost no talent. Can't wait till we get talent. All right, that's all I got. Thanks, Q. Bye.
All right, he talked about Carr with no interceptions and Conley stepping up. Says his team's playing well and they have no talent. You know, let's see what happens when they get some talent. So, Victor and Cali with some back-to-back calls, feeling pretty good about himself. And another dude who had a couple back-to-back calls, my man Akeem in Oakland.
Hey, Q, it's Akeem out of Oakland. Hey, that ODOT post about 105 left in the game. Derek Carr just did a teardrop pass to Seth Roberts. I may have to walk back some of my savings about Carr. Go right there.
All right, now he called right after Derek Carr dropped that beautiful pass to Seth Roberts right in Seth Roberts' lap. Yeah, that was right there towards the end of the game. And he said he might have to walk back his thoughts on what he said last week on Derek Carr because he was very critical of DC. And you know there's been a lot of that. So, Akeem, don't feel bad. There's been a lot of folks calling and saying, you know what, maybe I was wrong about this Carr guy. Maybe he is the dude. And look, I've doubted him at times too. I still think that they should draft Tua in 2020 just to have some competition for Derek Carr. But I'm not saying that he's going to go in there and be a starter. But I just think competition is great for everybody. I just think that's how it should be. That's just how it is. And then he called back once again once the game ended.
Okay, Q, the game just ended. I don't want to be a prisoner of a moment, but Derek Carr definitely hung in there. He even took a hit next play, threw a touchdown. Go Raiders. I'm not a Derek Carr hater. I don't want to catch any flack from my last call last week, but I'm definitely happy that we got that win. Go Raiders.
So, yeah, Akeem, he basically walked all his comments back on Derek Carr. He said he's not a DC hater. He was happy with what he saw from Derek. He hung in there, picked up the win, took some big hits, and go Raiders. There's been a lot of that again this week, for sure. Now, the final call of the segment, final call of the show, is from my man Nick. He's chilling in San Diego. He's actually a little bit behind, man. He just finished listening to Friday's show.
Hey, Q, this is Nick, San Diego. Just got done listening to the Friday podcast, and I just wanted to sound off on Raider Nation not being one, if not the best, fan base around. I mean, I live out in San Diego, and I know out here in San Diego, annually we have a Raider fan convention. I know there's one in L.A., Vegas, Miami, and these are every year. In fact, there's an Instagram page, RFC something, where they post it up. And I think there's one up at Pismo Beach every year or something like that. I know when I walk around here in San Diego with Raider gear on and someone else is walking by with a hat or something, you know, I get the nod. You know, as a Raider fan, I feel we're family. We're not just friends or let's hang out and tailgate or watch a game. No, we're family. We invite each other into each other's house and whatnot. I don't know how someone could say we're the 14th best fan base in the NFL. I got to say we're one of the best, if not the best fan base in professional sports. Other than that, man, doing a great job. Keep it up.
All right, so he was talking about Raider Nation not being the best or one of the best fan bases in the NFL. Remember, I went off on that little kind of a rant in segment number one on Friday. He talked about all the conventions that he knows about, how we treat each other when we meet a fellow Raider fan, when he's wearing some Raider clothes, he sees someone else with some Raider clothes, and you get the head nod and everything. Look, Raider Nation, man, we are a family. That's something I've said all the time. That's why this podcast is successful, because we are a family. None of us know each other from Adam. Well, actually, there's a couple guys on here that know each other, but that's cool. But still, I mean, none of us really know each other, but we all got each other's backs. And you know, if we were all at the Coliseum, we'd be all be partying together, and as we're watching the games on Sunday, we're all partying together even though we're not around each other. I look at everyone as my brothers and sisters, and I say sisters because there's a few females that call the show as well. Selena and the OC, I know she's holding it down. Hell, she called me from the game during the game while she was in the stands representing with her daughter, just to, you know, give a shout out and everything. So that's awesome. So we are all family. Don't get that twisted, Raider Nation. I got your back 100%. Y'all got my back 100%. That's just how we roll, and that's why I know personally, and that's why I got offended when it said that we're the 14th best fan base. We are not the 14th best fan base. Not even close. Now, I can say that there's some fan bases in the NFL that they definitely ride or die for their team. You saw a lot of those Pittsburgh Steelers fans at the Coliseum on Sunday, which was not a good look. A lot of terrible towels. But at the same time, we ain't no 14th best fan base, that's for damn sure. And again, I remember back in the days at the Coliseum going to the game where you wouldn't dare wear the other team's color. And like I said on Monday, not trying to be intimidating, not trying to be a bully or anything, not trying to be that guy. It's 2018, that's politically incorrect. But I will say, folks have got real, real comfortable wearing their colors at the Coliseum. That's not how I was raised. That's not how I grew up. You didn't do that where I'm from. Not at all. When we used to go to the game, man, I'd be damned if people walked around that stadium with their colors on. They came in, they'd have like a polo shirt on and some jeans, and you're like, oh yeah, you're rooting for the other team. It's cool. At least you didn't wear your colors. You know what I'm saying? That was the respect, though. And we used to joke about that. I remember there's plenty of times I had fans sitting near me that were just wearing off-brand colors or whatever. They weren't wearing colors of the team that the Raiders were playing, and I'd be like, oh, I know you're playing with the other team, or you're rooting for the other team. It's cool. At least you didn't wear your colors. And I give them a bad time. That's just how we roll. But now it's 2018. Everybody's got rights. That's a whole nother podcast, whole nother conversation. Matter of fact, that probably get me in political trouble, so I'm not even gonna roll there. But you know what I'm talking about, Raider Nation. So Nick, I totally understand where you're coming from, man. Great stuff, and a great way to end the podcast today. Really is a little nice little rant right there. I like that. Even though you're a few days behind, you got a couple shows to catch up on, brother. I appreciate you checking out the Locked On Raider podcast. On Wednesday's edition, it will be the crossover edition. Next up on the schedule for the Raiders are the Bengals. They're a pretty bad team right now, but we will be talking some Locked On Bengals, Locked On Raiders on Wednesday's edition. Until then, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.